Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Coming up on this Tuesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live, ultra-tough antibiotic to fight superbugs. They're trying to develop one. We'll have details about that. Also, a shocking new undercover video exposes the grisly reality of abortions. It's pretty fantastic what they're doing, I guess, in a really negative way. More information about that. Also, the Marine Corps has a toxic masculinity problem. That and other stories coming up on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live. We're at 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at kpcgfm, and any emails you'd like to send, we're happy to look at those. Comments at kpcg.fm. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau here today on this Tuesday. Feels like a Monday because Memorial Day yesterday, so a lot of people had off. And Abraham, you said you have toxic sun poisoning, you believe?
Yes.
Too much sunshine.
Yeah, I feel like I'm glowing just because I have so much vitamin D in me right now from the sun yesterday.
Well, it can happen. You get sunburned. You can get sick from it, but you're not that bad. Just worn out,
yeah.
Worn down from the sun. That can happen. Hopefully everybody had a really nice weekend. A lot going on today. This is an interesting thing that's happening in California. U.S. Air Force Base prepares unprecedented missile launch. You guys see this? They're shooting a missile of some kind from the Pacific, and we're gonna shoot a missile from California, see if we can shoot it down. It's practice for North Korea, so you'll be able to see it if you're in California, if you're in the right place. You'll be able to see the launch. You won't be able to see it hit, obviously, out in the Pacific. But that's going to be happening between noon and 4 p.m. today. And so it's a ground-based interceptor, which is scheduled to be launched between noon and 4. So see if it works. It's a test of the system. I guess I got to make sure there's no planes or anything in that area. I'm sure they'll take care of that, but kind of fascinating.
Yeah, well, it's kind of shows that the world's moving in the wrong direction when the first time in a long time the U.S. actually has to consider activating its missile defense shield on American soil, like this, to test it, just in case North Korea would ever launch something. So it is a strange thing that hasn't happened this generation yet. But I did see a report where about 50% of these interceptor missiles miss, or something like that. They only have a 50% success rate. So that's kind of concerning a lot of people because that's not good odds when you're talking about nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I guess they probably don't want to report on it if they do miss.
Yeah.
But now they're going to have to, I guess, report as to what happens. It's going to be launched from the Vandenberg Air Force Base in Central California. So, interesting. It's unprecedented, they say, to do something like this. But I guess, like you say, that means that the North Korea threat is serious enough to at least try it and see if it works.
Yeah, it's like it's a public test. Everyone knows about it, and that's pretty rare that something like that gets announced and that we're even having an operation on our own coast instead of out in the Philippines or somewhere like that. So clearly it is a big issue and a big threat. And with a regime like North Korea, you just never know if they pop off one day and they want to fire something at us.
They've been launching quite a few and just keep doing it. Here's another story coming out of California. You might have seen this on the news, on the television. It's from the LA Times. A Bay Area water park closes slides after boy spins off chute onto concrete. I saw this last night. Unbelievable footage. He's okay, which is stunning. I'm surprised he's not dead. But you've seen these slides before where they shoot you down and then there's water in the bottom of the slide to stop you. They used to call them speed slides when I was a kid. I went on a few on water parks. And, you know, you do look at them and think, where am I going? You know, how am I going to stop? But the water at the bottom stops you. They just opened this park up. They just opened it. I think this was day one. The East Bay suburb of Dublin, 27 miles east of San Francisco, for years had been eagerly anticipating the opening of the $43 million complex known as the Wave at Emerald Glen Park. But on its opening day Saturday, a photographer for the East Bay Times caught on video a boy sliding to the bottom of a three-story slide, then skidding over a side of the chute feet first onto a concrete walkway. So they're going to, the boy's 10, and he was shaken up, had some scrapes, but was okay. Other than that, the newspaper said the ride, which drops at an 80-degree angle, had been operating for 90 minutes when the accident occurred. Obviously shut down immediately. They're going to have to come in and look at it again. They're probably going to have to change their height and weight requirements. My guess would be that he didn't weigh enough just from looking at it, because he went airborne. He flew off the thing, hit the concrete.
Those slides always strike me as extremely dangerous. We have one similar to that at a water park near here, and I went on it years ago, and it pretty much does go straight down. And there was a point on there where I couldn't feel myself touching the slide at all, and it just makes you wonder, like, if you sort of twist in the air or flinch or anything like that, if you could just go right off the edge of the slide even before you get to the bottom.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to think of my experience being on them. I went on them when I was probably 12, so I wouldn't have been much older than this guy. And I do remember getting a little bit of air, like you mentioned, but it worked out okay. I don't remember anyone ever getting hurt on it, but what a shame. Thankfully, the guy's okay, but $43 million park, they just opened it 90 minutes in, and they already have an accident and have to shut it, the slide down. These things do happen. I think we had a few last summer where amusement parks had things go wrong, but got to watch out. Got to be careful with your kids, especially.
Yeah, it's always amazing in a sense that these types of rides that have the hundreds of hours of testing on them with different ways of trying to figure out making sure it's safe with the requirements, and these things still happen. And it's just every human being is shaped differently, way differently, can't always have every expediency mapped out in testing. So I'm sure the ride was up to standard. It just, maybe they didn't think about someone who has the height requirement, not the weight requirement. I have no idea. But yeah, it's always sad when it happens, but hopefully they can figure it out so they can avoid it.
You think they're going to get a lawyer?
Probably
so. Yeah, I mean, you look at the footage and it's all over the place. I cannot believe the guy didn't get a concussion or die or break his back. He just flew off that thing at full speed and landed on his back on the concrete, and his head hit too. How is he not absolutely just obliterated? Just one of those fluky things.
You said it was off to the side of the
yep.
slide too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not like he shot off the end and just kept going.
No, he came down, and right when you start to kind of even out, that's probably where you get your air. And he went up, and then he just went airborne and went over the side and landed on the concrete in between the two slides. And obviously he hit, you know, the arm hit, head hit, back hit. And to look at it's hard to even look at it because it just makes you cringe. But I thought it would have paralyzed him or killed him. And the fact that he could just walk away. Now, sometimes, you know how it is, maybe you've heard of somebody getting a car accident and they think they're okay. And then the next day you get all the whiplash. And so I don't know if he'll have something like that. Just the fact that they caught it on footage, too, is very unfortunate for the park, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would have security cameras there anyway, but they happen to be filming it. First day, park's open, you know, exciting news story, and there you go. And caught it on video. So I just thought, when I saw it, I thought, wow, I can't believe he's okay. And then I thought, I wonder if they're going to sue the park.
Well, think about that. They were probably filming it as like a highlight reel for the park,
right,
to put on their website and to show how fun it is there. And instead, they had a horrific accident their very first day.
Yeah, 90 minutes into it. So, can you imagine being the next guy in line? They're like, okay, that's it for the day. Back it off. I don't know if you'd be able to see it from where they were preparing to go, but pretty interesting. If you might want to go on vacation this summer, maybe you already did. Maybe you won't after you heard that story about the flying off the water slide. But here's 8 summer travel tips to save you money on your next vacation. Who doesn't want to save money on vacation? I do. They say one way to do it is to look at all-inclusive vacations. But they say if you're traveling with your kids, they may actually be free at an all-inclusive resort. Sometimes you can eat for free, places like that. One note of caution, they say, make sure you are aware of exactly what is and what isn't included in any offerings that are all-inclusive before you book it. Ask questions in advance. Free breakfast. But that can mean a lot of things when you go down to the buffet. It can be good or it could be something you don't want to eat.
Yeah, some hotels I've been to, the free breakfast is a cold pot of coffee and some bagels,
yep.
And that's pretty much it. Other places, it's like a full complimentary breakfast, but every place has their own definition of what's free and what's a breakfast.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's been, staying in different hotels over the years, some, even if they're bigger, to me, the thing that always impresses me, either positively or negatively, is how clean it is. If it's pretty clean, I typically enjoy it. Sometimes they're not the cleanest, and they have those shows where people go in and they check the cleanliness of hotels. Don't ever, ever watch those, because then you'll be thinking about it next time you go in, and I just don't even want to think about it.
Didn't we have a story on this show one time about like the 5 most dirty places in a hotel room,
yeah,
or something like that?
Every place, yeah. The floor, the ceiling, the walls. Yeah.
Why do they even have to conduct studies like that to make everyone so paranoid?
Yeah, you have to be careful. But anyway, so they say that the all-inclusive things can help you, but again, you have to check and see what's all included in that. Another way to save a little money on vacation is to check the off-peak travel season. And of course, that's different for different parts of the world. For example, travel to Europe is off-peak from November through March. Travel to the Caribbean is off-peak from March through August. And you can save over 50% on hotels, food, and travel options during those times. Even changing your trip by as little as 1 week can save you hundreds or even thousands on your trip. And so that's something you might look at. I've never investigated that myself. You guys ever try that?
No, not really. I've experienced it by accident. We were just traveling someplace. We didn't know it was off season, but we ended up saving a bunch of money. But we didn't research or do it deliberately.
They say if you don't want to go totally off peak, you can look into what's called the shoulder season, which is the transition time between peak and off peak. So there's different places like that where, you can get in if the season is right. But like they say, don't try to go skiing in Colorado in July. It's off peak, but for a reason, because there's no skiing there, to my knowledge. So you have to be a little bit smart about that, I guess. Another area you can save a little bit of money on vacations is car rentals. They say the first question to ask yourself is, do I really need a car on my vacation? Sometimes it's nice to have a car, but sometimes you don't totally need it. If there's good public transportation or other things, you might be able to save some bucks.
It's actually a lot easier on a lot of vacations not to have a car, just because of how crowded a big city might be if that's where you're going. And so sometimes it's kind of fun to just take the train or the bus from different sites in the city.
Yeah. You got to be careful, though. I was thinking about that story over the weekend from Portland. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to Portland. You guys have been to Portland, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Some strange things can happen in Portland, but in this case, it was a really bad deal. A guy on the bus yelling for a couple of days in a row, and then he stabbed 3 people. I think he killed 2 of them, just yelling some really wild things. The police knew about him. Like, he had been arrested before at different rallies and protests and yelling. I don't know if he had any coherent sort of argument on anything. He seemed like he was out of his mind. But be careful in the public transportation. Well, I mean, even Uber, you have to be careful. You see stories where the Uber driver didn't turn out to be the Uber driver, or there's an altercation there. So anyway, you got to weigh all those things when you're taking a vacation. Another way to save a little money is free upgrades. They say you can get some incredible upgrades if you just ask. This is true. Sometimes you're renting a car in particular. You just say, can I get an upgrade? It's happened. I've gotten one before. I don't know if they just thought, who cares? I don't know why, but it doesn't hurt to ask. My wife is really good at that. she'll ask. And I'm like, but why, you know, different things. I'm like, or free shipping, things like that. I'm like, yeah, but that's not part of the offer. She's like, well, let's ask them. And you know what? A lot of times they do it.
My wife does the same thing, and I just cringe every time it happens just because I don't like to ask for anything unless it's something I can pay for. So she's a pretty good counterbalance there to get some things that maybe we couldn't otherwise.
Yeah, so you can just ask for a free upgrade, and they a lot of times you will get it. It happens a lot with vehicles. I mean, you feel good when you drive out of the lot and you've got this this upgraded, and you feel like you need to tell people, well, I've got an upgrade.
When I rented the car for my honeymoon, I went there and I think I got a normal car, like the regular standard size. And the guys there said, like, well, we don't have any of those, so we'll have some other options for you. And the two options he gave me was a Volkswagen Beetle convertible or a Hyundai Santa Fe SUV. So I took the SUV.
Yeah. Was your wife happy, or did she want the convertible?
Oh, no, she liked the SUV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's more practical.
Yeah.
But the other one would be kind of fun, too. But, yeah. So you can get you as long as they don't offer you, like, a motorbike. Can you rent a motorcycle? It's probably not even legal. I've never seen it.
You can in the Philippines. Well, not motorcycles, but also like scooters,
mopeds,
and little things. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you'd need, a lot of cases, you'd need a little bit of training to make sure you know how to drive the thing.
Yeah, there you don't.
You don't
need any training.
Speaking of, yesterday, I think it was over in Europe somewhere, and they had a soccer game. And the guy, I think he was delivering the game ball. He came in riding basically a drone, like a hovercraft. He was standing on it. It was a really large drone. And so people were looking at it like, could we do this? Like, is this a way to travel? And so now people are starting to think, maybe they've been thinking about it already, but he was riding it around just like you'd see in a movie. And so that sounds like it could be incredibly dangerous, but also could be kind of neat too. So that might be a start renting out drones to flip around on.
Yeah, I saw a video a couple months ago. They were testing out the new drones people can ride on, and it looks like a massive drone. Like, it's the same shape, same size, four blades. Then the person sits in the middle and they can ride it around.
Yeah.
Go up about 10, 15 feet in the air.
Yeah, this guy was up to 30 feet.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was special for what they were doing. You'd have to be careful. You'd need a lot of practice.
Yeah.
That's far enough to fall to, like, break a leg.
Yeah.
And not die. And that, I don't know if that's better or worse. But
probably worse.
Yeah.
Or better. Worse? I don't know.
Well, yeah, my son and I have had, I've gotten him a little one, drone, just to play with. And I don't think it was a great one. But neither of us could get into fly right, so I shouldn't be on those vehicles, I don't think. If it didn't go too high off the ground, it could be pretty amazing, though, to fly on. Another thing you can do to maybe save a little bit of money is compare online. This is, I think, what everybody does. Online shopping, see if you can get a better deal on all of your airfare and all of that, which you can find. And there's always somebody that's got a knack for it, or at least they claim. I think everybody knows that person. They're flying around the world for $55. Like, how are you doing this? You just got to search online. Another way to save a little bit of cash, they say, is to pack right when you're going on vacation. One of the most annoying things that can happen to you is to find out that you will have to pay extra on your baggage when you are checking in at the airport. So they want you to, they say if you pack correctly, you should be able to avoid that. I'm really bad at gauging the weight of a suitcase by picking it up. And thankfully, I'm bad because I overestimate, thankfully. I'm like, oh, this is way too much. It's like 30 pounds.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's fine. Throw something else in there.
That's how it is. It feels way too heavy just because we are so desperate to avoid the extra charge. But then we get there, we put on the scale, and it's not even close. We could have actually taken a lot more on the trip.
Yeah. They talk about, you know, if you plan to buy souvenirs or gifts, you should leave a little bit of space for it. Another thing you have to do is make sure you buy the right gifts. At souvenirs, we bought some stuff and we had to throw it all away at the airport because it was a snow globe and for a kid, and I had to throw it away because it had the liquid in it.
Right.
Stuff that I just didn't think about. And they were not, they weren't like taking their time with it. Like, yep. And they just go like tossing it left, right, and center. I'm like, I just bought that. Threw it in the trash.
So it was in your carry-on then?
Yeah.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, and they just went through and they pitched it out, so... I guess you have to just think about those things and either pack them somewhere else or ship them. mm-hmm. which I guess maybe that's the better way to do it. But yeah, we had quite a few things we bought that were just thrown in the garbage can. I wonder what they do with them. It seems like a waste to just throw the stuff away. Like they should have a store, like called like you know, like Half Price because it couldn't get on the plane. That actually wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah.
Confiscated Goods. That could be the name of the store.
Yeah, Confiscated Goods. There'd probably be some interesting things there too. Anyone want to buy a sword? A souvenir sword? Another thing that can help you with saving some money on vacation, travel date flexibility. When you can, try to schedule your flights, hotel stays, and car rentals on the less travel days of the week. Makes a big difference. You probably have seen that. You're going to book a flight, and if you can wait a day or two or be a day or two early, it saves a lot of money if you don't fly those weekends or those busier days or even just flying a little earlier or later. I like to do it earlier myself and get it done with, but sometimes you can save a fair bit there too. Alternate airports, that's another one where you can save some money. Instead of flying into some of the major ones, you can fly into smaller ones, sometimes that are close by. It saves you some money, and it's a lot easier to get in and out of those places.
True. Yeah, I went to the airport in Lexington last year, and that's how it was. That's basically a college town in Kentucky, and it's kind of just you get in, you get out. There's a few people. It's a nice little airport with a few gates, and it's actually a lot less stressful to travel in a place like that.
Yeah, I think so too. We flew into we avoided LAX and we flew into what's the other one there? Ontario, is that right?
I think so.
Not Canada. It's in California. Right. Yeah, and it was cheaper and it was a better deal all the way around. I think. I don't know. Maybe some people like the bigger airports, but I prefer the smaller ones. So those are some tips that might help you save a little money on vacation this summer. By the way, this Memorial Day weekend, 1 in 10 Americans took a trip, car trip, I believe they said, which is the highest it's been in quite a few years. So 10%, we're going somewhere. I didn't really drive too far, but I didn't notice too much traffic. But I guess they were out there. They have a new study out, by the way. This won't surprise anyone. Exercise keeps your cells younger. A large multi-year study in preventative medicine found that people's telomeres, if I said that right, the parts of DNA that get shorter as we age, were significantly longer in those who exercised often compared to those who were sedentary. So keep moving if you don't want to get old prematurely.
Just more proof. We always get that proof that we need to exercise, even if it's not pleasant.
It's interesting how I guess the study is looking at more of the scientific DNA sort of statistics there and numbers, but we all know it. Common sense. People that stay active typically stay more active. Those who don't. But anyway, they had to spend some money on that and figure it out, so now we know. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. Kia David program's coming up in a bit. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury. Talked about a few things today. Talked a little bit about Germany and some of the things that are going on there. I have a quote that I think is pretty interesting, sort of related to that. It's from CNN. German Chancellor Angela Merkel reiterated her stance that Europe must, quote, take our fate into our own hands following a meeting with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Tuesday. Just a day after her foreign minister accused U.S. President Donald Trump of weakening the West, Merkel stressed the importance of the U.S.-German relations, while at the same time looking eastward for new opportunities by holding court with an Indian delegation in Berlin. And so that's pretty interesting that Angela Merkel feels like Europe must take their fate into their own hands. That sounds like the intro to People's Court. Don't take it into your own hands. You take them to court. No, but they're obviously very much looking at being more hands-on with their own future. That doesn't spell good news usually historically.
Yeah, I think it's a really telling sign now that any meeting with the U.S. president and NATO is always has negative statements from other leaders about it, and just a lot of controversy about what the future of NATO is. But also, I think it doesn't matter who the U.S. president was, there was going to be this clear break in Europe, because NATO was created because of the Soviet Union dominating half of Europe, and Europe still recovering from World War II. Without those circumstances in place, NATO isn't as important. They still need to counter Russia. But you also have a lot of European nations who have their own identity back, and they don't need the United States anymore, necessarily. They don't want the United States there anymore. They want to... Merkel would have said that probably if there was a Democratic president, because Europe wants to forge their own destiny. They don't want America telling them what to do. So I think that would have happened anyway, and Europe's kind of coming of age now after World War II, and they want to move towards integration, most of them do, and that's going to take them under U.S. Hegemony into their own independent type power.
Do you think this her statement is more was made more because in the past administration, the last 8 years in particular, or in the Clinton administration, we let them do whatever they wanted, and we just stood there with them and supported it. And now President Trump is at least making some verbal statements that indicate that he's not thrilled with some things Germany is doing economically and other things. Because it's not like Germany was sitting there not doing whatever they wanted anyway to a point. It's just now maybe we're pushing back against that. Do you think there's something there?
Yeah, I think there are some clear imbalances in trade, as President Trump pointed out, that Germany has had benefited from and the U.S. has fallen behind in. But I think what the European leaders are doing is that they're framing their comments, showing they're basically using Donald Trump's rhetoric as a way to speed up the process. And their goals haven't changed. Germany's desire to be the leader in Europe hasn't changed. But I think they're looking at this moment as an opportunity to unite the rest of Europe by saying, well, President Trump's going to leave us high and dry. We need to unite and do it ourselves now. That's what they've been wanting to do for a long time. But now they're framing their comments where they're inspiring fear maybe in Europe so they can unite faster. I think that's basically what's going on, is President Trump isn't doing anything wrong. In fact, he's probably pointing out some problems that Europe does have and they do need to address. But these European leaders are using it as an opportunity to shed off the U.S. Weight a little faster.
They picked a good time to do it, though. The global consensus, at least if you're to believe the U.S. media, is that President Trump is not the favorite of some places. But again, that depends on who you're listening to, I guess. Also, thetrumpet.com today. Make sure you check out the headlines there. Top story, comrade to all, opponent to none. Whether influencing Syria, walking the Palestinian-Israel tightrope, or balancing the Iran-Saudi Arabia rivalry, China's neutrality places it in a unique position in the Middle East. That's by Jeremiah Jacques. And related to that, China launches first homegrown aircraft carrier, and Russia and China in prophecy. Taking a look at the East there at the trumpet.com today. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG. You can follow us on Twitter at KPCGFM. And also email us comments at KPCG.FM. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau here today. Grant, you have a write-up here from the National Review. A shocking new undercover video exposes the grisly reality of ripping apart fetuses. It's hard to even read that title.
Right. This is really a disturbing story. It was referenced as a headline in the Trumpet Brief newsletter last Friday, and there have been some pretty graphic articles on thetrumpet.com even just describing this grisly practice. But here's just another example of abortion providers themselves basically outing themselves, knowing that they are committing murder and they don't really care about it.
And I think I was a while back, I heard some talk about the new U.S. budget, and they were hoping to at least defund some of this Planned Parenthood, I guess they call it. I guess that's the name, which is an ironic title and name. And I don't remember what ever came of it, if they actually did defund it. There's always a controversy whether or not put money into these things. But the more they take a look at what they actually do, it doesn't have a lot to do with parenthood. It has a lot to do with murder, actually.
Yeah, it's almost like a sick affection for death, because that's exactly what they're providing. They're not providing a planned parenthood or family. They're making sure that that family doesn't even get started based on usually convenience, any reason at all. In a lot of U.S. states now, you can have an abortion literally the day before or even hours before birth.
Yeah. So this is an undercover video that somebody took. Do they say who took it?
It's the Center for Medical Progress.
Okay.
Center for Medical Progress. And those people were actually prosecuted recently. I think you might remember the name, David
right.
Daleiden. And so they're under fire for supposedly taking illegal footage at these 2014 and 2015 National Abortion Federation conventions. And basically they have gotten members of these conventions to out themselves. It's in a public place, and that's why their attorneys are contending that they could have taken the video, and that really the judge is displaying some sort of a bias here in trying to shut these videos down.
Well, I think it seems like they just don't want the terrible reality out there of what's happening. We were talking about this before we came on the air a little bit, and people are very much aware that this goes on some level, but it's very, I guess if you're not involved in it, which hopefully many people are not, it's sort of a removed issue in a way. Like, we know it's bad, but we don't know all the details of what goes on there, and maybe it's easier to just kind of compartmentalize it in that way, but some of the things they talk about and the reality of what they're doing, it's something out of a horror movie. I mean, it's absolutely just the worst thing you can think about.
Exactly, and that applies really for people on either side of the abortion issue, whether they're all for it or totally against it. People naturally shy away from discussing the details of what goes on in such a practice because it is sickening, and it is a practice that it's hard to justify. You know, people on the left say that anyone who denies climate change is denying science, and yet they're denying what human life is by saying that it's just a pile of cells until it actually comes out of the womb.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We don't have, as a nation, we don't really have any moral high ground to stand on when anything really comes up. You could look at a number of issues, but this one in particular, the numbers are astounding. I haven't looked at them recently, but the number of people, really in generations that have been killed. How ironic, right? We just have Memorial Day yesterday, where you have, you know, generations decimated because of war, protecting the country. But now we are intentionally decimating our future, destroying them. It's such a strange thing, but yet it's kind of being held back behind this like the judge that said that, you know, it was illegal to take these videos. That's not an issue right now, I don't think. How about what the videos are talking about?
Clearly there is something much more important than whether or not taking those videos is legal, especially when you're an undercover investigator. The very fact that that is your job means that you're going to be taking video without people's knowledge. And if you're exposing a crime, which in this case it is a crime because a lot of these abortion providers are actually selling the fetal parts and making money off of it, that is a crime. They're exposing a crime. So it doesn't really matter if the people committing the crime knew they were on video or not. But they're trying to get into the semantics of it to avoid the bigger issue. There's a lot of quotes here. One of them said, "Let's just give them all the violence. It's a person. It's killing. Let's just give them all that." That's an abortion provider explicitly stating the opposite of what the media puts out about it, that it is just a pile of cells that until birth is not even a human being. It's even abortion providers don't agree with that. They're the ones who are involved in that type of practice all the time. They know exactly what they're dealing with.
So the quotes in the article, and it's a National Review piece, and it was featured in the Trumpet Brief. You have to read it for yourself. The quotes are just unbelievable. But one thing that it struck me about reading it is that they were trying to make sort of light of what they were doing at times. And it's such a horrible practice. But I was thinking about people that have to go in every day and that's your job. You would have to sort of become very desensitized to it, or you wouldn't survive it. You'd have to start to, I guess, just turn off your natural human emotions. But what kind of a person do you become, though, after you do something like that, where you can maybe you? They're in some cases in these videos were joking about what they're doing.
That is really a deep sort of depravity. And like you said, there are a lot of quotes here where they're joking about certain body parts. And without going into too much detail, people can easily go look up this article for themselves. But to make a joke about basically dismembering a fetus, that's not really a funny subject to talk about. And yet they are making jokes, and the audience at these conventions is laughing wholeheartedly. You can easily hear it in the background of the clips. So that's just sick. I mean, there's no other way to really put that, the fact that they're talking about it like that, and they're absolutely admitting to committing the crime of selling these parts. So if they're admitting to selling parts, you kind of know how they got to the point where the fetus is in parts in the first place.
Yeah. How are people going to look at this time in the future? I mean, we're in it right now, so we just, you know, you kind of go about your business day to day, but how is history going to judge this, what's being done? And once all the numbers come out and once all the facts are out there, I think people are just going to shake their heads.
Well, if you look at, because I was asking myself this a year or two ago when all the big abortion controversy came up with the original secret videos or undercover videos that came out a little while ago. And if you look at the numbers, I think they estimate about 50 million abortions since Roe versus Wade in America. That's estimated. You can give and take on that. That's a low estimate of how many people Stalin killed when he was leader in communist Russia. But also, if you look at American history, that's many, many more people have died in any war. The amount of American men who died, the ones that we remembered yesterday, Memorial Day, and even the most costly war was the Civil War in American history. And so if you just look back on America, as people in the future will look on our society, we may tout a lot of religious principles or that we're progressive, that we're the moral high ground of the world. But when you look at the numbers and what our culture does, you can actually see that, I mean, abortion is not the same thing that Stalin did with 50 million people, but it is still murder if you look at it that way, or it's wrong. And so history will judge us in a similar fashion. I think it's, we need to maybe look at that and think about where we're heading, because do we really want to be remembered as a democracy that aborted 50 million fetuses?
Well, and if a person believes that there is a creator God and he makes life, then you have to ask yourself, what does he think about that? That's a good question, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it is really a matter of just total selfish denial, because any biology textbook will tell you that life begins at conception. And yet there are a lot of videos of pro-life activists or those who are against abortion going to these rallies like the Women's Day March, where they basically excluded any woman who was pro-life, and they went and they asked those people, when does life begin? And no one could give a definite, scientific, exact answer of when it begins, because if they did, you can't say life begins as soon as the baby pops out of the womb, because what makes that baby that was just out of the womb for 30 seconds any different from the baby that was in the womb 30 seconds before the birth? There's really just such a logical disconnect there that they can't even answer that question. There's no way they can answer it honestly and still believe that abortion is okay.
Well, too, and I think about how there's this big controversy with migrants coming into the U.S. And one of the arguments to let everybody come in is that they're going to help the economy, or they're going to start these businesses and do all these great things. What about these kids? Which one was going to be the next great scientist, or the next great engineer, or the next great athlete, if you like entertainment or music or whatever? You know, how do we know who was going to be the next Mozart or the next Michael Jordan or the next whoever? That surely within those numbers, some of the best and brightest of the next generation never had a chance. So how on one side can you say let anybody come in because they might help the nation, but on the other hand, you're destroying your own people, not giving them a chance to do something.
Yeah, well, and if you, this is actually a biblical principle, but in the Old Testament, God told Israel not to give your enemies a reason to hate you or a reason to fight against you. And if you look at our modern American society, the very reason why radical terrorism fights against us is they're not after some kind of geopolitical objective. They don't want to conquer America. But they, and there's, it can vary from person to person, but basically they hate us because many things we do is sin to them. And so it's a religious war against our sins. And if you look at some of the things America is the leader of, I'm not sure if we're the leader in abortion. I think China, with the one-child policy, probably has been for a long time. But nonetheless, America, many millions, over a million abortions a year, if I remember the numbers correctly, on average. World leader in pornography creation. World leader in all these other terrible circumstances. So while I'm not at all condoning what terrorism does and why they're doing it, that they're an evil that needs to be stamped out. The reason it exists in the first place is because of our sins, if you have it. And that's, if we avoided getting into all those things, we probably wouldn't be dealing with terrorism in the first place.
Yeah, or we'd have the courage to fight it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible story. You can read the rest of that, and it's probably worth looking at. NationalReview.com, a shocking new undercover video exposes the grisly reality of ripping apart fetuses. Terrible, terrible subject, but that's the world we're living in. Abraham, on a related medical note, this is from BBC.com. Ultra-tough antibiotic to fight superbugs. There's been talk, I guess, recent years about how the antibiotics are not as effective against some of these superbugs. So now they're trying to make a super antibiotic.
Yes.
And the game, we just keep raising the stakes, I guess.
Yeah, this is a pill with a little red cape on it. I'm just kidding. But they're trying to re-engineer these vaccines and make them super vaccines to fight off the super bugs. And this one that they're talking about here, it actually appears to be 1,000 times more potent than the old drug.
Wow.
So it's a huge escalation. It has not been tested on animals or people yet, so we don't know how it will affect that. But it has been proven to fight off some of the most drug-resistant bacteria out there. And this is from the Scripps Research Institute. They're the ones who have been trying to develop this super vaccine. And they hope within 5 years it can start being issued. And the main virus they're working on is called vancomycin-resistant enterococci, I think, or VRE. I'll just call it VRE now.
That's better.
Yeah, but that's that's this. It's VRE is this drug-resistant bacteria that's in hospitals. It can result in bloodstream infections, and the WHO think it's one of the greatest threats to human health on the world right now, because once it gets in your system, we have no idea how to get rid of it.
Is that, and you said that's in hospitals?
Yes.
So, because you do hear from time to time about somebody dying because they went in, they didn't die of what they had, but they contracted an infection in the hospital. Is this what people are contracting a lot of times?
Yes, this in some places, yeah. Yes, this is what it is. I don't think so much in the West, but in other countries where they don't have our level of
cleanliness
in, yeah, hospitals, which, I mean, in some hospitals in the West, it's not that high of a standard, but still, that's mainly where this is. And so they've been treating VRE for a long time with vancomycin. That's what the V stands for in VRE. But it's for 60 years they've been using that drug, but now that drug is powerless because it's resistant. So now they've supercharged that vaccine and they've re-engineered it. They've re-engineered some of the molecules inside of it so that it goes about attacking the bacteria in a different way. So they're hoping that by changing the molecular structure of the vaccine that they can, it can again kill off this VRE and other type bacteria.
It sounds, you know, good on a certain level, but then if this virus, this superbug, I guess, or superbugs, it become resistant to that, then what kind of a bug are you dealing with? You know, if it's, yeah. you know, so that's all, I guess that's the question is how far do you want to keep pushing it? Because eventually what do you end up with on the super bug side of it?
That does seem to be the problem with vaccines too. There's a lot of scorn tossed at people who are, I guess, called anti-vaxxers who don't want their children to get vaccines or something like that. But if you put vaccines in your body, it's kind of like taking away your body's incentive to try to attack those diseases themselves, and it could really hurt the immune system, or it could just create a superbug like you were talking about. If the bug develops an immunity to that vaccine, it'll come back and attack even harder, which would just continually require a series of more powerful vaccines. That's just kind of the conundrum that I guess science is dealing with.
I guess it's like a lot of the problems we deal with, whether it's economy or anything, it seems like we just try to push it down the road a little bit. Like, we don't really have a solution, but maybe we can push it down the road. If it took 60 years for the bug to catch up, maybe we buy another 60 years. And then maybe somewhere in there we'll figure something else out.
Yeah, exactly. This is just a reaction to the event. It's not fixing the cause of these super bugs. And so that's the question. If this drug is 1,000 times more powerful than, if it's no longer effective, then how much more do we have to keep ramping up the drug strength to where it could probably kill a human? Because we don't even know if this is too powerful for a human to take. We don't know that yet.
Right.
But if you look at super bugs and other pandemics and diseases that have gripped the earth throughout history, the solution is not in a vaccine or in drugs. Those diseases happen because of a lifestyle. Eating, like with Ebola, eating bats. that's what caused a lot of it. And then in lots of other places, unsanitary practices in the medical field or in food production with the avian bird flu. Just in certain places of the world, it has to be a lifestyle change. And that will get rid of these super bugs because it's these practices that are unsanitary or unnatural that cause these diseases. And so if you can, instead of putting a Band-Aid on it in the form of a drug, if you can change what they're doing to stop the diseases happening in the first place, that's really the only way to stop them. And so that's, I think that's the only way we'll ever get rid of disease and super bugs is by stopping the lifestyle choices, like with food production, all that sort of thing that causes these super bugs in the first place.
Yeah. BBC.com, ultra tough antibiotic to fight super bugs. 1,000 times stronger. That's amazing. Where do you go from there? 10,000?
Yeah.
Million? This drug is 1 billion times stronger than. You have one other write-up for us today from Vox.com. The Marine Corps has a, quote, toxic masculinity problem. It says the fight for the soul of the Marine Corps is just getting started.
Yeah, this is a report coming out in response to the latest Marine recruitment ad. And it's a recruitment ad that features a woman for the first time. And they're trying to get more women to enlist in the Marine Corps. Currently in the infantry section. So in the Marines actually go in and fight in certain battles. There are about 4 women total. There are women in other branches of the Marine Corps, but they're not like in a frontline position. And so this article here, the author, he goes through and he's showing how the Marines have a anti-woman culture, basically. And he points at the lack of women in the military, the amount of sexual harassments, but also the whole Marines United scandal where nude photos and different things were shared by Marines of female Marines and that sort of thing. So that's kind of what this is all about. He does bring up a problem. There is a big problem in the Marines with sexual harassment, and that's true in any branch of the military in any country. There's thousands of harassment problems every year with between male and female officers and recruits. That's just the way it is, and that's something that has to be solved. But I'm not sure if there's a toxic masculinity, though.
How much would sexual assault or, I guess, harassment go down if it was all men, though?
Right. Well, that's the thing is, should women serve in the military or not? But also, is there a deeper cultural society problem with why this is happening? Is it just the Marine Corps, or does it reflect America more broadly?
I remember a couple of years ago here locally, Tulsa, one of their recruiting offices, I don't remember which branch it was for, but they opened up to some people that hadn't been allowed in before, some of the other communities that are out there, I guess. And they were all excited about getting in different people that hadn't been allowed before. And very few showed up to try to get into the military. And I don't think anyone that did show up was qualified fitness-wise to do the job. So, you know, all the social ideologies aside, there's a certain fitness and strength and so forth required for certain jobs. You know, does the NFL have a problem? Maybe that's a bad example because they do have some issues. But I mean, as far as the way the game is being played on the field, how come you don't have, you know, more? How come you don't have children playing or or guys like me? Because we get obliterated. I don't have the size for it, right? There are just certain jobs where you need certain people to fill those jobs. And, of course, there's a lot of issues, but that's one big issue. I think, you know, people can have all these progressive hopes and dreams, but you need certain people to fulfill certain jobs because they can do it better than others.
Right. Is a commander or a general really a sexist for examining the attributes of a man versus a woman and thinking that the man with the stronger physical features and even tougher mentality in most cases would be a better soldier? Is that wrong for him to think that?
And isn't the idea of going to battle to protect your family, to protect your homeland, to protect your nation, and protect your women and children? Isn't that what it used to be, mainly?
By nature, that's a man's job.
Yeah, well, that's all the questions are being asked.
Right.
And in American society, once the traditional roles of male and female become mixed or they become compromised or they're open to interpretation, these kinds of issues come in and they do impact the military in a very specific manner because, especially the Marine Corps, I think, because the Marine Corps is specifically trained to go on the offensive, to go in and kill and destroy the enemy, more so in other branches of the Army, of the military. And so, and if you look at Marine, just to get into the Marine Corps, boot camp and everything the Marines go through, it dissuades most men from even trying. I mean, it is some of the toughest stuff, the most excruciating training you can go through. Having a 6'2", 200-pound, muscle-bound drill instructor yelling in your face for 3 weeks in basic training. And that's not something a lot of people put up with. In fact, most Marine recruits leave because they're just not ready for you and they come back and try again or something. But it's a difficult lifestyle because they're training these young Marines to go in and be able to defend their country, to be able to kill on instinct, to be able to deal with death and these tough circumstances and take it in stride. The Marines are, and any Army institution is unique because they're training young people to kill people, but in a restrained way in which they have some kind of moral high ground or some kind of moral compass to guide them through that. And so when you start bringing in politics and things to erode that kind of culture, that kind of system that we're training these young people to do, it starts to compromise their combat ability, I think, but also I think there aren't a lot of women in the Marine Corps because women don't want to be in the Marine Corps. I mean, most men don't want to be in the Marine Corps. Marine recruiting numbers are down for whatever you might call yourself. Like for men, women, any other type of person, how they classify themselves is down for everyone. So it's not popular for anyone right now because it's a tough lifestyle, but also the toxic masculinity. I'm reading a book right now about a Marine sergeant major and what he went through growing up in the Marine Corps from when he was age 18 forward. And when he was in the Pacific doing different training, they would go into a Liberty port, Subic Bay, Manila, Hong Kong, Bangkok, wherever it might be, and they go party up with girls to the early nights of the morning. That's the kind of culture it's in the military. And the sergeant major said one of the things that the young grunts talk about all the time is sex. And so when you're mixing women into that volatile atmosphere, it's just asking for trouble, because these men, they're trained very hard. They're not allowed to talk to anyone else. So when they have a chance to have some liberty, they go do whatever they feel like. And so this, by inserting women into this culture, I'm not saying everything in that culture is right or correct, what they do in the Marine Corps, but when you insert women in there, it's actually making the woman very vulnerable, because the Marines, when they were built as an institution, women were meant to be there, because they have to train the men in a very specific way to be able to defend our country. And so when you put women in there, it's actually compromising the whole institution in one way or the other.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because if you are an enemy of the United States, you'd have to be looking at this kind of internal squabble and sort of be shaking your head, thinking, well, you're not only not preparing to defend yourselves, you're bickering over this. Well, we're getting ready to actually, you know, fight, which a lot of nations, although they wouldn't say that today, that's what nations are doing. Russia doesn't have its military parade for fun. I mean, they're serious about it, and we have these internal squabbles. We can't even figure out who to put out there, you know. And so, anyway, there's a lot to talk about there. We don't have more time to get into it, unfortunately, but maybe we can carry on with that another time. The writer's from Vox.com. The Marine Corps has a toxic masculinity problem. I don't know about that. Anyway, that's some of the information that is out there. Pretty interesting. That's all the time we have for Trumpet Radio Live today. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, and also check out thetrumpet.com for today's top stories. Thanks for joining us today. Myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.